Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio by Randy Engston. What's up,
man? Hello. Feels like it's been longer than a week.
Well, we're in the afternoon today, so fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Lots going on. Heading out to what used to be called IHRSA tomorrow. Now it's called the Health and Fitness Association, HFA.
HFA.
Which is long overdue. I mean, the Racquetball Association, that's what IHRSA stood for, Health and Racquetball. That's been a while. Like, I think the 80s and 90s had the racquetball course.
I'm shocked they didn't go to pickleball. That would have been an easy swap in, just like.
That would be funny.
Wouldn't it?
International Health and Pickleball Association. PB. Oh, gosh, guys. All right, listen. So episode today, really talking about the decisions and questions you have to ask yourself before you pull the trigger on, say, a new product or service in your business. Now, we like to get the core product up to a point where everybody's in a membership, recurring revenues, exceeding base operating expenses, and it's covering all your bills from the main thing, and then bringing in other service categories to supplement or boost or optimize your business. But that's not always the case. Sometimes gym owners will be struggling on the membership side, and they start making decisions to bring in other profit centers to help supplement the global goal of total revenue. And it can be a big mistake.
Yeah. I mean, between the distraction of just dividing your bandwidth and now focusing on multiple things, I think that might be the biggest issue, right?
Sure.
We talk all the time about just keeping the main thing the main thing. I had a conversation with a female gym owner yesterday about the different, the structure of the business and then how to get to those revenue goals. And it was really clear that the thought from many gym owners is that it takes multiple things in order to get X in the business, right? And obviously, to our belief and the things that we're going to get into is that if the main thing isn't the main thing, let's get that revenue to where it needs to be before dividing your attention and distracting yourself.
Right. And I think that old ancient Chinese proverb is like the man who chases two rabbits catches neither, right? Or John likes to say that, our buddy John Farkas, for the longest time, I thought I was indestructible. I could do five businesses, run, have a rental properties and an investment company thing going on and have a, a gym and do ProFit and do all the things. And while done it pretty well up to this point, when I focused on just one at a time, that's when the exponential growth came.
Yeah.
So I believe me, I think many of you listening, like, I could do it all. I can bring in all these services and all of them would be great. And I believe that too. But really when we scaled or grew or exponentially grew here at Legacy was when we cut all of the garbage out and just focused on semi-private training, the way that we do it, that's where we saw the explosion go, right? And we could be mediocre at a lot of things. And we could have large group training and semi-private training and, nutrition programs and supplement programs and a youth athlete program and, silver sneaker, like older folks thing or foundations or whatever. We could do it. We could. And they would all be about equal. And I think the total sum of all of those would be less than if we just focused on one.
Yeah.
Which it was. That's the truth. We were there. Now we're here. With one focus, one singular goal. And so there's going to come a time, though, where you have to make a decision in your business whether or not, hey, should I bring this profit center in whether it's supplements, whether it's a new piece of equipment, maybe it's a class or a service or a nutrition program. Believe me, guys, when I was in that front room working here every day, I would get bombarded with opportunities.
Yeah.
I would have people bringing in equipment. I'd get calls. I get emails. I get, hey, you should do our thing at your gym because it's awesome, yeah. right? For whatever reason. And so long time ago, and it really stemmed from multi-level marketing, mm-hmm. why I created these filter for me. We call it the 5-question matrix as to whether or not I'm going to do something in the business. And I'm going to go through these 5 questions with you. I did this on stage a couple years ago at the Grow Summit. All I saw was cameras going off, yeah. right? You know, hey, you know, because it makes sense.
I'll add one thing too. It's not just profit centers necessarily, but it's opportunities, like you said. So it could be another marketing campaign. It could be a front end, you know, high ticket transformation program, like things that are in alignment with what you're doing already, but a different way of doing it. Yeah. are also subject to this same 5-question matrix.
Yeah, put everything through this yeah. filter, and you'll probably save yourself a lot of heartburn and headaches and everything else that go with making a bad decision. Number one, question number one, do I believe in this? Okay, your core ethos of your belief system needs to be front and center on anything that you do. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So if you don't believe in a certain thing, then anything and everyone could give you, like you could have a Rubik's Cube full of opportunity, like of services here at your gym, and nobody could recognize any of them. Mm-hmm. I'll take you back to a story. Back when we first opened the gym in 2009, my model was an open gym concept, i.e. Anytime Fitness, with personal trainers that were independent if you wanted it. So there was no like training gym, there was no concept, there was no modality, there was no program coming top bottom. And one day I sat in the middle of my gym and it was like nothing was going right. We weren't signing people up. Our coaches were busy. They were making a ton of money. We weren't barely paying the bills. I wasn't paying myself anything. And I was looking around and I just saw, just looked like a circus going on. I had a coach in each corner, all in independence, with a one-on-one trainer in one corner doing bodybuilding stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Another coach with 3 clients doing CrossFit. Another coach with 4 clients doing, you know, band work with like 70-year-old women. Somebody's posing with their shirt off. You know, it's like all over the place.
It's like the Cheesecake Factory of a gym.
Because it was the Cheesecake Factory of the gym, and that wasn't the model.
Yeah.
The model was never to be a training gym. It was just like extra revenue.
Yeah.
Okay. And so like, I had to sit back and like, gosh, this is a mess. What do we believe in here? What do we stand for? What style of training do we believe in? Because we got to make some changes.
I think that might be one of the important things. But before even just getting to the rest of them, I think gym owners right there, if you take a look at what you provide right now, you probably have some things in your business that are, maybe you believe that they could get a result, but they're not in the same alignment with how you yourself train or how you would recommend other people are doing it. You're just doing it for that purpose, right? It's a little bit extra revenue. Mm-hmm. So if it's not in congruence with your belief systems, maybe that's maybe right now, before you even get into the rest of them, like that's where you're going to start chopping some things from the business
yep.
right now.
Yep. So do I believe in this thing? Several years later, I was here at this new location and I fielded a phone call from a very enthusiastic woman who was so excited to tell me all about her following of Zumba. And she told me like, hey, you know, I'll bring all these women over there. We'll do Zumba at the gym and we'll do it in the downtimes. And like, it doesn't matter. It could be on Sundays, it could be on Saturday afternoons. We just need a place to do it. And I was like, no. No, I don't believe in this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in Zumba. Do I think Zumba works to burn calories for women that wouldn't do anything else? Sure. People get real creative. You can exercise doing anything, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Mowing the lawn, setting, right? So there's all these different ways that you could do stuff, and you're going to get bombarded, and you're going to get, like, you have to make decisions on the fly. Like, does this make sense? So the first question is, do I believe in this thing? If you don't have your core values, start there so that you have some type of compass to answer that question. Because if you don't believe in anything, right, you'll stand for whatever, right? So I guess the point is this. if any one of these five questions is a no, the conversation's over at that point. We don't move on. It could be question five, it could be question one, or anywhere in between. If any of them are no, we don't move on. If all of them are a yes, it still doesn't mean we're going to do it. It just means we're going to keep the conversation going. We'll consider it. It's not off the table yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, this is your way. This is literally, these five questions protect you as a gym owner. They protect you. Because then you've got some type of filter and you can easily say, hey, I don't believe in it. So the second question, will it get my clients better results? Right? Will it get my clients better results? If you don't put that filter in there, like, you could bring stuff in here that does nothing to get clients better results. And what's the point?
Exactly.
Aren't you here to get people a result, depending on what that is?
Yep.
And so here's a good example of a product that we brought in that doesn't necessarily fit the current, like, mold of what you would think that would go through this matrix. And it was the InBody.
Sure.
Okay. So does the InBody get my clients better results? Okay. Well, let's think about this for a second. If they get on the scale or on the InBody and they're tracking results and it keeps them motivated, it keeps them here longer, or it proves that we're doing our job or whatever, or if somebody's off track, we can correct it, then yes, the InBody does get my clients better results.
Yeah. Data.
Because it's data, it's information, then we can make decisions on it. Okay. So, like, for example, do I believe in the data that's coming from the InBody? If you don't believe the data is accurate, then the answer is no. But if you believe the InBody data is accurate to a point where it's usable, okay, will it help my clients get better results? Yes. So both of those are yes. And again, we're going to go through the rest of these questions here in a second, but that's how I'm making decisions, right? Every day.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, well, there's probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
Right. So that's the second one. Number three, is there margin? Is there a margin? Is there a profit margin in the product, service, equipment, the thing that I'm bringing in? Okay. So let's just use the example of, say, supplements. Mm-hmm. Okay. So good supplements one. Is a great one. Of all the products out there, supplements typically has the highest profit margin, right? So we're in business to make money, to make a profit, to pay the, right? Like to live a lifestyle. Like, we're not here just to break even. We're not here to lose money.
Definitely not.
So the question has to be asked, will this make money, right? Is there a margin here?
Yeah.
And so supplements would be a great example. If we just start over from the top, do I believe in this thing? Do I take supplements? Yes. Do I believe in it? Well, I wouldn't be taking them if I didn't believe in them, right? Wherever it is. Creatine, we just talked about creatine this
morning. Yeah.
Right. Do I believe in it? Will it help my clients get better results? Well, what's the point of taking a supplement if it doesn't get you a particular result, right? Yep. So the answer is yes there. Is there a margin? Yes. So all three of those is a yes. Okay. Again, two more questions.
But it's still in the conversation.
Still in the conversation. Right. And that could go for anything. Like that InBody, for example, is there margin in the InBody? Is there a way to make profit from the InBody? Well, technically, yes, in a way, indirectly, because I can keep my clients longer, we can get them better results, whatever the reason is. Yeah.
An increase in retention is an increase in revenue, profit.
Yep.
Like margin. Right. Margin.
Right. So that's that's the three questions right there off the top. So as you're listening to this, okay, I get it. Now I can see. But like, if you never had this in front of you, you can make a bad decision real quick.
Yeah.
Right. Number four, can I sell this? Can we sell this as a company? Do I believe in it? Yes. Does it get my clients better results? Yes. There's money to be made. Yes. Can I sell it? Like, do we believe in it enough, or do the coaches believe in it enough that they will sell it? Because if you can't get your coaches on board as a team, whatever you do, it could be a rewards program, a freaking t-shirt you want them to sell. If they don't believe in it, like, they're, the freaking thing's dead on arrival. It's the weirdest thing. You could have the best thing in the world. The gym owner could be so passionate about a particular thing, but then it gets to the coaches and they're just not feeling it for whatever reason. And this has happened a bunch of times.
Yep.
This happens in gyms where you have high theoretical coaches. They want to outthink and outsmart everything with science. So stretch therapy is a really good example here, right?
Sure.
I believe in stretch therapy. I wanted to bring it in. I got more arguments about stretch therapy with Zach than I can remember any other topic.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm like, I believe, dude, stretch therapy. I've been stretched. I've literally been an athlete getting stretched. It's like amazing. And there's all these other reasons.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out the coaches didn't believe in stretch manual, like manual stretching, mm-hmm. like assisted stretching.
Assisted, yeah.
They didn't believe in it. I'm like, why don't they believe in it? Well, they think X, Y, and Z. I go, show me a study that says this is not
beneficial
yeah. in any way. I'll listen. But like, I'm not looking at a study. I'm just going off myself in mm-hmm. the other athletes that I've worked with. Like, we all get stretched. Like, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
So I got more arguments. And so like, if I tried to force that in without their buy-in, it wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
So we had to get down to the root cause or the root real core reason. There was no data. It was just what they felt. There was nothing to back it up. It came down to, they didn't trust the therapist stretching the client. So they didn't trust a stretch zone or a stretch lab or to send a client to a stretch lab. The physical stretching of the art of stretching isn't the problem. Yeah. It was the therapist delivering the stretch, pushing somebody too far, injuring somebody, not knowing what they're doing, whatever it was the reason they didn't believe in it. So we had to get to that, but it took freaking months for yeah. me to get that peeled out of them.
Yeah.
I said, produce the thing. And I kept pushing, Anyways, that's another great example of, if you don't get the buy-in, if the team doesn't believe in it, like, you're dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. So before we move forward, we had to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay. And the fifth question is, can we service the product or service that we're bringing in? Okay. So supplements, for example, a drop shipping supplement solution is easy to service. It's sending a link out and somebody else services it.
Yep.
Stretch therapy, on the other hand, you have to have a physical coach stretching a client. Like, if you don't have enough coaches, you don't have enough hours in the day, whatever it is, you can't service it. So like, that needs to be in consideration through this process as well.
Another, that's one where like a high ticket transformation program, you know, that's who's doing the service.
Yeah.
Right. And that, again, you as the gym owner, if you go back to Mike McAllowitz's lessons to us that we've shared a number of times, right? You as the owner, your job is job creation, not fulfillment. And a lot of gym owners, one, don't value their time and their delivery of the services and the delivery of whatever they're doing in their business to the position that they're in, mm-hmm. right? You're the owner of the business, the pinnacle of that organization. Your time should be the most valuable of anyone in your organization. So in that situation, right, if you're going to bring in a high ticket transformation program and the client's going to be working with you personally, that it's got to be at a revenue or a cost, a value that's going to be representative of your time and deliverable. In that situation, if the only option is for you to do it, it might not be the right thing, right?
Right.
If you have a system, can your team fulfill this? Or do we have to change the business that we have in order to fulfill on this? And all those obviously come back as a no.
Well, yeah, that's the, can we service it? And then you say no, and then we have to say why, and then is the solution to service it worth
the potential increase in gain. Yeah.
So let's kind of review these real quick. Let's just take first supplements, for example. This is a true story. It happened here a couple different ways with different coaches. And it always comes down to the coaches. It's really interesting. The belief system of the coaching staff could make or break any of these. It's just the weirdest thing. You're at the mercy of the coaching staff's mind. Okay. And a lot of times they're younger and they don't know what they only know what they know. Right. And so they believe X and you really don't, you believe Y because of your experiences and they have their own experiences. So you have to talk it out. So number one, take supplements, for example. Do I believe in supplements? Yes, I do. I believe in them. I would take them. Do I take them? Yes. Will they get my clients better results? Yeah, absolutely. That's the point of a supplement. You take it to supplement something you're lacking or increase performance or whatever it is, right? Is there a margin? We talked about it a second ago. Yes, big margins, typically 50% or even higher with supplements, depending on where you're getting them from, if you're white labeling or whatever. Can I sell them? For us, it was no. We can't sell supplements. And it comes down to a litany of reasons, but typically it's the belief system of the brand of the supplement that the coach doesn't believe in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I only believe in Thorne. It's got a third party, tested. Yeah. Or the supplement industry has a bad rap for good reason. A bunch of BS has gotten into supplements. They've done private third-party studies where like the protein, nitrogen was bumped up to show a higher protein content. It was really half of it because they're cutting corners. And they use unique mechanism whiz-bang nomenclature all the time. So like the proprietary blends, and there's a lot of reasons why supplements have a bad rap and they shouldn't be trusted. Now, that to be said, you could get a supplement the whole team is bought into and get a team buy in and sell it. The belief of the coaching staff, we couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
And so, like, just because you believe in it, it has margins, it gets clients better results, you can service it. If you don't have a way to sell it or a belief around selling it because of whatever reason, it should be a no.
Yep.
And so just because I say yes to all five or no to one of them doesn't mean we're doing anything yet. If there's a no anywhere in that five questions, it's done. Let's revisit it another time. If all of them are yes, it just means let's continue looking at it this further. Don't make any commitments to, obviously doing something you're not really 100% behind. But at least with these five questions, you can get through the noise. You can get through the whiz bang, right? All of the bells and whistles of the potential, what you could make. Oh, you could make this and that would be great. And what if, if all of your clients did it, and you're going to hear all of the reasons.
Because it's just somebody selling you that opportunity, right?
Right. Focus down, gym owners. Get focused with these five questions. Hopefully that helps you guys weed through the noise. And really only do the things you truly believe in that will make a difference, that you can sell it, that you can service it, that does have margin, gets clients better results, and it's part of your core value system. Hopefully that helps you guys. Take notes, rewatch this if you need to. Book a call if you want help with your gym. We'd love to help you guys. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.